Once more under the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And I always get kind of stuck right there.
Well, we shouldn't. Well, I think we've said our names. We've done that well.
Right.
We could end now and...
Well, we could do it. We need to do a
disclosure.
Haven't
made any mistakes yet.
Yeah, we could do a disclosure. We could say that the Personal Wealth Coach is not just a radio program. But wait, there's more. It's also the name of a registered investment advisory firm operating out of Salado, Texas, registered with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, which really doesn't have a lot of meanings, but except for the fact that we have a lot of money under management. But other than that, it's cool.
And it just means that we filed some papers, not that they have given us a thumbs up in any way. They've just said, you filed with us, that's right.
Well, it is an indication that we have over $100 million under management.
That is true.
In order to file with the SEC, you have to have $100 million or more, which is some significance, I think.
Depends on who you're asking.
Well,
if you're talking to the Congress, they're like, no big deal.
I think $100 million is a pretty fair amount of money.
Well, see, that's why you're not a congressman.
That's probably true. You know, in the famous words of Everett Dirksen, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you're talking about some real money. Well, this is the Personal Wealth Coach, and we are in the business of managing investment portfolios and thinking hard and long about things like the economy and things of that ilk, and we don't sell stuff, so other than our services.
I would like to clarify that even a bit. But right. While we manage money, the way we do it is by improving decisions.
We do?
I hope so, anyway.
Never really thought of it in that way.
When it's not like we say, when someone comes in and says, I wish to retire, and I'm going to make a decision on this, and we generally don't say no. So it's their decision. They've made the decision. They're just wanting some help clarifying and improving.
Well, we do that. We also do this other thing, which is trying to figure out which stuff we ought to be buying on behalf of our clients.
In order for those decisions to actually
and
take
selling.
Place.
Right.
Yeah. The results of the decisions. It's really nice to say, I'm going to retire when I'm 32. If you're 55, it may be a problem.
I appreciate your grasp of cosmological physics.
Little time travel. So there are some times that we do say nope.
Well, I don't know. Your sister, my daughter,
Which one?
The older of your two sisters.
Uh-huh.
Recently landed in L.A. at about the same time she left. I think it was L.A., wherever she was going. But she basically landed someplace in the United States.
In California,
California, a little bit before she left Seychelles.
Over
near the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Right, near Africa, sort of near.
So she actually got back here before she left.
Right. If she just kept flying, maybe she would have kept reversing.
Well,
you can't make up that. Eventually, you keep flying back into
today. There's a reset in the
today.
Middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
And you know, where the dateline. Anyway, so, you know, there's some small degree of reverse time travel. But she says the hangover from it is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm talking to folks that have been in the space station. They very regularly...
Well, they're going the other way, though.
Yeah, well, except that... But it doesn't matter. Once you get going fast enough, you keep traveling into yesterday sometime. You just go in and out of today and yesterday, depending on which... yesterday becomes today and today becomes tomorrow.
The issue is since they're traveling the same direction the Earth is turning, they see, like, what was it, 16 sunrises in a day?
Yeah.
So that means that for every day they're up there, they age 16 days.
But not really.
Well, the sun rises and sets 16 times every 24 hours.
The dateline keeps moving the way it is. So the problem is...
I think they're out of the jurisdiction, though.
When they move beyond the dateline once, they're into tomorrow, and then they come back around to the other side, and they're back into today. So while they do age, they also, each night, reverses the day somehow.
Yeah, but there has to be a statute of limitations on the international dateline. It can only go up so far, because otherwise the moon would be switching days every time it passed over the Pacific.
I think we should send this to the Supreme Court. I think that they should find a clause in the Constitution.
Santa?
Yes, a Santa clause in the Constitution, yes.
That would make sense. Anyway, this is the Personal Wealth Coach, and as you can tell, we only discuss relevant economic questions like what time is it and what day is it, and can you travel backwards in time?
What time is it on the moon or on the space station?
Well, I do know.
We do know that, yes.
Yes, yes, but most people don't know what time it is on the moon.
That is correct.
And the funny thing is, it's the same time on the moon whether it's daylight or dark.
Yes.
The daylight and dark cycles, which are 28 days long, are ignored.
Well, I mean,
and any rational person would say the sun rises and 28 days later, 28, 24-hour periods later, it sets. Obviously, that was just the longest day.
I would think that
you could make a movie by that name.
I think they would need to make a new form of clock for the moon, but instead they just use Britain time, which is very different.
Universal standard. No, it's universal. It's UTC.
Mean something or other.
Well, it used to be mean, but now they decided they didn't want to be mean about it. It's UTC.
Greenwich Mean originally.
It was Greenwich Mean, but now it's UTC. And I'm not even sure. Universal something or another. And
right.
I have no concept what UTC means.
Well, they just do that. I think Universal Tea Time is what the T stands for. For Britons, they have that.
Well, the military actually has a better way. They call it Zulu, which is the name of a tribe
in Africa.
In South Africa, which is perfectly rational.
Zulu time.
Zulu time, right.
Right.
Okay, anyway. If you'd like to call in and actually ask us a question that has something to do with economics or the markets or investing or something like that, the telephone numbers to call in East Bell County are 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
Speaking of outer space.
I was speaking of the moon.
Well, the moon is definitely in outer space.
I was also speaking of orbit around the planet.
That's also in outer space.
Is it?
So the trader in Barron's, uh-huh, this edition of Barron's that came out today, the headline is Dow tops 17,000 on stellar jobs report.
Stellar. So it came
to do with stars.
The stars. The jobs from the stars made the Dow pass 17,000.
Top 17,000.
Right. Okay.
It's for the first time ever.
Well, I think that we have some people that we can thank for that directly.
And
there's a very clear, according to this headline.
Stars.
No, SpaceX. We need to thank the folks at SpaceX for providing the jobs report that has led us to top 17,000.
Well, I don't know. You know, that is space, but it really has nothing to do with stars. Stars are a little further out there than that.
Oh, we've got a star.
We do, but even that one's a little further out there than low Earth orbit.
That's true. Well, you're saying outer space, low Earth orbit. I'm not sure. But if SpaceX is the for-profit group that is trying to reach there, so obviously the Wall Street Journal is talking about them.
Mm.
Yeah. So thank you.
SpaceX.
Thank you, SpaceX.
Well, I was trying to figure out whether it was the stars from California, the Hollywood stars.
Could be.
Bright burning gases.
The jobs reports from California aren't anywhere near as good as Texas.
So we're working on an analysis here of why
SpaceX,
it was a stellar job report.
SpaceX has been hiring. I mean,
all
the clues.
Yeah, and they're in Texas.
Yeah,
so.
And evidently, some members of SpaceX actually listened to this program. I knew that it was a bunch of crazy people out there. It's proof they listened to this program.
Well, not only did the economy add 288,000 jobs in June, according to the Commerce Department, or the Labor Department, whoever it was that did that.
Can't have commerce without labor.
I would tell you that there are some people who would disagree with in the financial centers who believe they could lots of commerce and no labor.
Just imaginary commerce.
Yeah, well, those are called derivatives.
Right.
One of the things that people tend to overlook in that is the Labor Department increased they changed their earlier jobs reports from mm-hmm. previous months and added 29,000 new jobs there.
Man, I wish we could do that. I wish we could just revise a report that we did a quarter ago and make it better. Just say, yeah.
I was wondering if you could add 28,000 jobs to our... Yeah, we could hire 29,000 people. We couldn't pay them, but
no,
we could hire them.
We could hire them. Hey, yeah, commerce without labor.
But there was more than that. A lot of the smaller more, I think, significant indicators in the economy were signaling the same thing. Mall shopping receipts hit a record high.
Wait a minute. A record high. Have you been in a mall lately?
No.
So you're not part of that. I'm not part of that. I actually went to a mall because there's a ice skating rink in the mall and in Austin. Mm-hmm. And the hallways are empty.
Well, when we talk about malls, that includes strip centers.
Okay. All right.
And so there's apparently a separate report made by the Commerce Department that says how much money did malls and strip centers take in last month and in the month before and so on. And,
right.
And the economist that I was reading notes that he does year-over-year moving averages on those, and those hit a record high. Virtually all of the indicators in the economy that tell us how well we're doing and how well we're likely to do over the next 3 to 6 months are at a much higher level than we've certainly seen since 2007.
Right. Well, I was reading the BBC this morning. They have a publication as well as the speaking. And they have recognized something that I started talking about here back in March and February, that the United States is the largest producer of oil in the world.
Really?
We passed up Saudi Arabia back in March. BBC just realized that we passed them up in March and started talking about it. And they say that's the reason why the Dow passed 17,000, because of news that came out in March.
Well, actually, there was an interesting thing that that occurred in that shortened trading day on Thursday, where it,
right,
the Dow jumped upward based on the jobs report, and it kind of moved along, and then it started climbing up again, and then towards the end of the day, it did what it very typically does on July 4th weekends.
Yep.
It started back down, and it started back down with a certain degree of vigor, and what that means is that there's a lot of traders who say,
wait, I'm going to be gone for a few days, and there may be some news
that come out.
3.5
days with no ability to buy or sell stocks, I'm going to get out of the market and take my profits. And then
what if news comes out and is horrible stuff?
And the market was going to close at noon, and it looked like a pretty typical July 3rd market.
Right.
And
when
at the
close. When the 4th is a Friday.
Well, just in general, before July 4th, and I've been at this a long time, and I've noticed a very distinct pattern in that we typically get a dip right at the beginning of July. A lot of traders leave town. There's a lot of things happen right in there. They leave town right at the beginning of July or end of June with the intent of going, a lot of the traders in New York, of course, and they tend to go down east, which is, oddly enough, north.
Yes.
Up into Maine because it's getting really hot in New York. And when they leave, they sell and get out of the market and just stash their money in cash until they come back, typically at the end of the summer. Well, and I've seen this happen so often that it's one of those things that I think everybody kind of gets used to. It's kind of like the sell in May and go away axiom. Only, as the market descended, as the traders started backing out, right at the last minute, and I'm talking about at 11:59.
Yeah, we had a spike.
There was a huge influx of money into the market, and I personally would love to find out where that sudden influx of money came from. But it was apparently across the board, buying stocks in general.
And it wasn't aimed at indexes.
It wasn't aimed at any specific stock. Somewhere, somebody made a decision right at the last minute. Well, they didn't make the decision at the last minute. They probably had planned this to flush a tremendous amount of money into the market in the last minutes before it closed for a three-day weekend. Now, that's that. First off, that the market was up going into a three-day weekend is very optimistic. And secondly, the fact that right at the last minute, somebody flushed a great deal of money into the market at the very last minute suggests that there's even more good news out there than we know about. Somebody was trying to take advantage of it, and It's just one of those fascinating things. And this is going on, folks, by the way, at the same time as in Europe, various countries are cutting their interest rates because of weak economic performance.
Right.
It's really an interesting, to at least to me, an interesting contrast. The other country, by the way, that is undergoing a resurgence that seems to be making them very happy, launched an aircraft carrier on Friday. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Well, it christened one, at least. Didn't necessarily launch it.
Well, that's what they do when they...
Well, they christened it. It's not even going out for its first tour for a couple of months.
Well, that's technically the launch, isn't it? Right. It's in the water.
The Queen dropped a bottle of whiskey on it, a single malt Scotch whiskey.
Really?
Yes, with a button. She hit the button and
so it was an electronic. It was an electronic smashing of a, and she didn't use champagne.
Right. This is the HMS Queen Elizabeth that we're talking about. It's an American-sized aircraft carrier. It's one of those weird things. The British have had aircraft carriers for since World War II. Before that, actually.
Mm-hmm. But they're small and they have a
very tiny,
funny little thing on the front end.
If you put them together with an American aircraft carrier, they look like the little dog jumping around the big dog in a Warner Brothers cartoon. Mm-hmm. Hey, where are we going, guys? Hey, where are we going? They're a bit faster, but they can't carry anywhere near the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they can. And this is one of two coming out, which means that the British will have the second largest aircraft carrier fleet in the world. They already do, but it's getting bigger. And this is a fascinating area.
I didn't know the Chinese now have two.
Yeah. Well, the British already had two. They had two little ones, and now they're getting two big ones to join the two little ones.
Of course, the Chinese have not yet figured out how to land or take off in their aircraft.
Right.
They're two. They bought one, and they couldn't figure out how to use it,
so they bought
a second one.
Yeah, they bought it from the Russians,
right?
Because the Russians couldn't pay to keep it working, so now they've got to figure out how to get it working.
It's really people are afraid of China.
No.
At any rate, I just think it's interesting that the Anglo-American axis of power is seeming to recover nicely on its model, while the rest of Europe is coming along. Even Spain is starting to look a little better at this point. And Greece is right on the cusp of coming out of recession. But here in the United States, this jobs report, combined with, by the way, the best housing pending sale report that we have seen at least in 6 years, is an excellent indication. The price of houses being sold has been rising at a little over 11% per year rate. Now, don't get too excited about that, because one of the main reasons that has occurred is it hit an abysmally low rate and has been recovering from that low rate. And secondly, there's just not very many new houses being built, so the demand is there. But we're actually seeing much higher numbers on the pending home sales. That means a contract has been signed. They're waiting for all the administrative proceedings to go through to actually sell the house. And these are pretty strong indicators of where the economy is and where it's going. When you have enough people who are interested in buying a house, that we have record numbers of closings starting in the process of taking place, and we have jobs, this many new jobs, well over, if you count the ones that are thrown in, well over 300,000 new jobs created in June. Now, this is an interesting, June is a really fascinating month for this, because the numbers, the 300,000 number I gave you, the or 289 point whatever, 288, is seasonally adjusted. And one of the things the seasonal adjustment does is it actually trims the number for new jobs, because a lot of seasonal hiring takes place as people get out of school for summer, and they actually subtract that out of the figure. Another thing about the...
There's another thing that seasonal adjustment can do.
What can it do?
It can make food taste a lot better. If you don't seasonally adjust your food, then you get really bland food. So I prefer some garlic, some salt. So when the different government bureaucracies do seasonally adjusting on jobs, what they're trying to do...
is make it taste better.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there may be some truth. My thought process... Yeah,
we were talking about seasonally adjusting when I brought in seasonally adjusting, but you were talking about in the summer, there's quite often a lot of extra hiring that goes on. Because people are getting out of school. People are not in college or back coming out of high school, and they're going into the workforce, and they have to trim those off to make it a regularized number. Does that help you?
Normalize.
You can normalize the regularity.
And
or
the
regularize
reason it's called,
the normality.
The reason it's called normalized, by the way, is because of the Normans.
Right, who are French speakers that invaded Britain.
Right.
And that would be normal.
When they changed it from Anglo-Saxon to Norman, that was normalizing.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
So just remember that.
We are making French out of the jobs numbers is what we're saying here.
Yeah, that makes perfectly good sense. Also, so the whole economy in the United States is finally at the point... this is just my judgment here, where we've crossed over from a struggling recovery to a self-sustaining recovery that has some degree of enthusiasm behind it, where it is self-feeding.
Yeah.
And by that I mean it's no coincidence that we see so far this year a very consistently higher than expected number of jobs being created. And then here we are 6 months into the year, and now we're seeing a higher than expected number of house sales going onto the books.
Consumer spending.
Those two do go together, because when you don't have a job, it's really hard to buy a house.
Right. Consumer spending is generally what drives our economy. And when we're talking about malls and strip centers and them hitting record levels of sales... this is absolute long-term record levels. Just to give kind of those of you that listen to the program very regularly know this already, but some of you probably new listeners or ones that have just missed this segment in the past.
These are people who were previously deaf?
Yes, they are now listening.
Okay.
When we hit this recession, we had strong consumer spending going all the way into the recession. It was corporate spending that led us into the recession. And that was based on having the lines of credit from the bank dry up and causing the companies to lay people off. Well, this is a very different kind of bear market, a very different kind of recession than the ones we normally see. This is much more secular. It's a much more serious situation when the consumers don't even know there's something wrong until they've overspent because they've been spending thinking they have a job tomorrow, and then they get into work and they don't have that job. So what we're seeing on this end of it is we have recovered from the corporate weakness, and we've been waiting for the consumer weakness to come back to strength. So the corporate strength has been talked about quite a bit for the last several years, about the corporations having lots and lots of money on hand, and that the productivity is way up, and that the profit margins are way up, and all that good stuff. We've been waiting for the consumers to finally say, I'm going to have a job tomorrow. I can spend today. And that's what we're seeing right now.
And there's still a little missing element in the jobs issue.
Uranium?
No, I haven't.
Well, the uranium, it might be missing. I don't want to put it in there.
No, I don't uranium.
You don't uranium. Okay. No. So what is the missing element?
We still have a relatively low participation rate. And
What does that mean?
Well, that means that we have not had a lot of precipitation.
Participation.
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 Yes. It means that the percentage of working age persons in the United States that are actually either working or actively looking for a job is the lowest that we've seen in, and this is, this blew my mind. I had to look at it about three times, 66 years.
Yep.
And that indicates that something is going on for sure that's unusual. Now, this, you could say, okay, well, it's the baby boomer. You know, the first thought, it's baby boomers retiring or women returning to...
We're talking about working age.
Yeah, women returning to decide to have kids. There's lots of reasons that we can give and say, okay, this is happening. But if we turn around and look for the males age 25 to 65...
They generally are not out having kids.
They're not having kids, and they're not generally retiring yet. And that is that particular sector of the workforce matches the 66-year lowest. So we've got a lot of people.
And what we also know just
who are not in the workforce.
Yeah. We also know another kind of side figure that we can use to disprove the whole people are leaving the workforce to go out and have babies. The birth rate dropped drastically during the recession. So it was, and it hasn't fully recovered to the point it was before the recession yet. So people aren't leaving the workforce. In fact, they're leaving the workforce slower to have kids than they did before the recession.
Yeah.
We're looking at people that were looking for jobs for a very long time and couldn't find them and then stopped looking. And that is the number that he's talking about here, the participation rate. So what were you saying about the participation rate?
Well, if we see the participation rate go up through the next several months, then that will be what we call a confirming signal. And I think it's really important to get that confirming signal. And then at that point, I think the Federal Reserve will be far more relaxed. If we get the rising participation rate, that probably makes sense at this point, because there's a couple of things happen. Not only did we have an unusually large number of new jobs created and people hired in the last month, and not just for the month, but when we look for the total year ending last month, the 12-month period ending last month, we also saw some really healthy numbers, and those are more important. But the we saw the number of hours rose, and this is an annualized number, 3.8% last month. In other words, you can divide that by 12 and get the actual number, but it becomes nonsensical at that point. Basically, the number of hours being worked per worker in the United States, non-supervisory worker, off the non-agricultural, non-supervisory workers' hours rose by nearly, on an annualized rate, by nearly 4%. And we've been seeing that happen for several months, which means that companies are starting to pay overtime. And at that point, of course, hiring people starts to make more sense to the companies.
This is when hiring begins. Uh-huh. We've been talking about this for several years.
So the demand is there. And the question is, will people re-enter the workforce now as the demand starts to pick up? If it does, you can expect to see the Fed react and lower, I don't know, Janet Yellen was at a conference and she suggested that the lowering of QE would be the same tapering rate they're using. But the question is, and by the way, that will indicate that their quantitative easing will end this year.
Mm-hmm.
When will they start raising rates? And up until now, various members of the Federal Reserve have said it'll be 2015 or 2016 before they start raising rates. Both at this conference when she spoke and in individual speeches from people like John Williams, who's the chairman of the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank, they've indicated that if this type of economic behavior that they've just seen continues, we could see interest rates coming up a little quicker than we thought.
Yeah, and what we're talking about here, it seems funny. I've got a couple of pieces here. When we're talking about the Fed and they're saying they probably won't, up till now they've been saying they probably won't raise interest rates till 2015, maybe 2016. That sounds like a long ways in the future. We're talking 5 months. That's when 2015 starts. So they've recognized that we're in a strong economy, and what they've been waiting for is what we're seeing right now. And to give some more background into the way this sort of recovery takes place. Companies, when they lay off an employee, so we're talking about 2007 through 2009, a lot of layoffs going on. They don't want to do that again. It's expensive and it's painful. It's emotionally draining for everybody that's still at the workplace. So they say, all right, we don't want to do that again. What we need to do is figure out how each person here can work better at what they're doing. So productivity rates go way up off the chart. We had these record levels of productivity gains, and we've talked about that for several years as well. These huge jumps in productivity. We're figuring out new ways to do the same thing in a better way, to make more in the same amount of time. But as we have said, as that reaches the limit that you can't get any more productivity out, then you start having to pay people to stay longer hours. And that's what we're seeing now. When you start having to pay people to stay longer hours and they're already putting in that much extra work for the productivity gains, you start looking, if you're managing a company, you start looking around and going, I'm going to burn out my entire workforce and the productivity gains that we've made are going to drop unless we start hiring. Well, that's the point that the Fed has been waiting for too. They're waiting for a good boost in the economy as far as overall growth, and I've actually heard this one called the canary in the coal mines. When the hiring starts again, which is what we're seeing, look at what the Fed's going to do, and when the Fed recognizes that the hiring's going on and that we've had a boost in the economy, they're going to start raising interest rates. What's that going to do to the market?
That's a good question. I'm not at all sure, very frankly.
I think it's very likely that when the Fed makes the announcement that they're going to raise interest rates, we're going to have a dip in the market.
I don't know.
I say very likely. I don't know that it will happen, but it is likely to happen. And it's one of those funny things. You say, I don't know. It's a funny thing because it seems reversed. The only reason why the Fed would raise interest rates is because the economy is doing well and we're making new jobs. You would think that that would be a good cause for the market to go up. However, traditionally, when the Fed says they're going to raise interest rates, the market drops. It's just a silly thing. And you go look at the reverse of it. If we're in the midst of the doldrums, if you look back through the recession and the Fed says, I'm going to lower interest rates, well, what that means is the economy is horrible. People are losing jobs left and right, and you watch the market, and it does this little spike. Now, it generally doesn't last very long, and that's the reverse of what we're saying here. I don't think if it does drop that it'll stay down very long, because the reason why it would fall would be because the economy's doing well, and that doesn't tend to last in the market. They go, the economy's doing well. It should do better.
If you recall, not very long ago,
I have a memory issue. I'm not sure I can recall that far back.
The market would panic at the thought of a tapering of quantitative easing.
Right.
And despite the fact that the tapering is ongoing,
we really haven't had a dip.
And I think we're just likely to see this continue. One of the there's several things else going on out there. The local governments are starting to hire again.
Yeah.
We got some pretty good hiring in local governments, about 50-50 between the actual municipal governments and schools. For those of you who are terribly afraid of the federal government has been cutting positions, has been losing jobs right and left. And in the month of June, the federal government hired 2,000 people.
Wow.
More than it laid off or retired.
Wow.
Whopping 2,000 people.
Well, if they keep that growth rate by month over month, we don't have a whole lot to worry about because the population's growing at a higher percentage than the workforce at the government.
But there's a worrying side to that, too, if you want to worry about something. I mean, if you want to
look at please. I would love to worry about something.
The federal government workforce is now older. The average age of a federal government worker is now older than has ever been recorded in history before.
And they tend to have an older workforce than the rest of the...
And what happened is a lot of people who otherwise probably would have retired...
are not retiring.
And taking a second job, taking another job somewhere else, have decided not to retire and to stay on with the government. And as a result, very few younger people are being hired in the federal government workforce, and as a result, we're just having something. We do need to do some commercials, don't
we? Yes, we do.
By the way, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and if on the other side of the commercials you'd actually like to call and stimulate our brains by asking us a question about something, we would love it. And the telephone numbers, and by the way, Saturday, July 5th is the date. So we, if you're listening and it's Saturday, July 5th, if yesterday was the 4th,
then it is still today.
Then we're still alive. And you can give us a call, and we may just answer you and talk to you on the air. The telephone number is to call 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
And we will seriously attempt to come back with you after these very important words from Town Square sponsors. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And the telephone number is in here, 773-1400 if you're in East Bell County. Otherwise,
1-866-597-1400.
Let's see, other broad economic news that came out there with the Jobs Report.
Oh, yeah. Well, same day, India banned the import of foie gras. Just thought you should know that.
Okay.
It's important news. No.
Why? Because it's cruel to ducks?
No liver pate of duck. Yes, because it is cruel to ducks.
Is that why they banned it?
That is why they banned it.
I got to remember that.
You can buy it there, but it's,
it has to be locally. Yeah, the ducks have to be locally tortured.
You cannot export the cruelty. You've got to do it locally.
Okay.
Right. I just thought you should know that we are not the only country that has very strange laws.
I don't know. I'm really glad you interjected that
it's important
piece
stuff.
Of information.
Important stuff.
Yes. One of the things that is also going on that has economists a little bit confused.
Uh-huh.
And probably a lot of people are writing dissertations on it now and getting their doctorates on trying to explain why we're not having any inflation and why
economists
wages,
are always confused, by the way.
Well, the wages, average hourly wages have been rising at about 2% a year, and so has a little faster than inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that with people working overtime and the apparent, as you said, working the workers harder and so on, that
right.
You would see a rise in inflation, rise in wages at this point, but we are not seeing it.
Well, it's pretty simple from the perspective. My perspective, it's pretty simple to understand why that's going on. Do you have a reason?
No, I'm waiting to hear your simple perspective.
Oh, it's very simple. Because there isn't
waiting.
Any.
I'm still waiting on your simple.
The reason why we don't have inflation because there isn't any. That's the most simple way. But you can, I could say, why is that? Very simple. Why is that? Because there's less money for time worked today, less money per unit of labor today, per unit of value today, than there was before the recession.
Okay, makes
that's,
sense.
That's how you measure it.
People are still more concerned about keeping their job than they are getting a raise.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not demanding raises.
And once
and
more.
They're still, even at 6.1%, there's still a relatively large number of people out there who are hungry and looking for jobs.
Right. There are less people as a percentage of the population with jobs today than there were back before the recession. Which means that even if we are still hiring, and even if the wages of the people that are employed are going up at that rate, there's still a big chunk of the people that the wages aren't going up at all. They're not going anywhere because they don't have a job.
That makes sense.
I mean, when we look at the things that could cause inflation, this is, you and I like to go into the depths of why things happen. So what causes inflation? Well, if you look at a union contract from 1970, this is a great reason for people to have inflation. They're going to hire a lot of people because they have no competition in the car business or any number of other businesses at the time. And they're going to give them incremental pay raises based on a contract signed today that goes off into decades into the future, not based on more work being done, but based on time of service.
Right.
That's inflation. because they're doing the same thing. This may actually hurt some feelings of people that may be listening, but when we look at, this is a great example.
You're making an assumption.
I am making it. Well, that's what economists do. We have to assume a lot.
Assume a listener.
I'm assuming that there are people listening. If that's the case, then we may assume that some of them may have their feelings hurt over this. So there's double assumption.
I'm waiting to hear what it is that's going to offend the assumed people.
Well, it's a local issue in Austin. Capital Metro has a bus fleet, and the buses are owned.
Do they have fleet buses?
They actually do have fleet buses, yes.
They have a fleet bus fleet?
They have a fleet line of buses,
fleet,
yes.
Fleet bus fleet, that's hard to say.
Yeah, it's a fleet bus fleet. Yes.
Fleet fleets,
goodness.
Yes.
And
I'm sorry about that.
They had union employees as the bus drivers. This is where it could hurt the feelings. There were bus drivers that have been driving bus routes for now 25 or 30 years, the same bus route. And in doing that driving, their pay was six figures. To drive a bus route, they were getting between $110,000 and $130,000 if they had reached the 25-year period.
My kind of job.
What a job. What you do is you drive and stop, and then you drive, and then you stop.
Well,
you also
pointedly don't hit things or run over people.
Don't run over people. Don't hit things. Tell people exact change only.
Yes.
This doesn't seem like a $130,000 job. The reason why...
Are you sure you live in Austin?
I do live in Austin, and yes, I am saying things that might be detrimental to the union employee.
Okay.
So the People's Republic of Austin will be upset about this. Now, the reality is that Capital Metro, which is a product of the environment in Austin, looked around and said they were going to go bankrupt if they kept the union-scale pay jobs. If we do it as a country, it's not such a big deal.
Going bankrupt as a country?
Well, no. I mean, if we have pay scale increases across the board, everybody in the country just gets paid more because they're working, then we have inflation. It's not that huge a deal. Everybody has inflation together. You're making $130,000, so am I, and so is everybody else, because it's not that much money anymore.
Of course, bread is now $1,000 a loaf,
right.
So it's no big thing.
Right, but as soon as you do it in a closed environment, then what would be inflation, if done broadly, is just something that makes you bankrupt if you do it individually.
You have hit upon a fundamental economic issue, okay?
So what causes inflation in an environment where a lot of value has just left the economy? The value in people's homes that were foreclosed upon, that loss in dollars.
Don't forget the little pieces of paper that were in the bank vaults that suddenly became worthless.
Right, yes, and all of the mortgage papers that were worthless, and all of the other derivative papers that became worthless, and what's more, huge banks that the value to the shareholder went away. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, if you owned these two pillars of the community, if you owned shares in those corporations, before the recession, you were pretty happy, and after the recession, you had $0 for that share that you owned. You lost it. What happened to that money? That was a value in the economy, and when value is removed from the economy, you don't get inflation, you get the reverse. So we still have some money to replace, we still have more people to employ before making raises across the board. Well, we still have productivity to catch up with. If somebody's making two items when they used to make one and they're getting the same pay, those items are worth less on the market because the cost that went into them basically is half. So when you buy a TV today and its price tag is less than it was a year ago, that's not inflation. That's the opposite. That's deflation. Because productivity has run up ahead of the wage growth. Productivity has run up ahead of those timed wage increases, even in union scale. So when the Federal Reserve was pumping money into the economy, it wasn't doing it at a high enough rate to replace the fact that your TV costs a lot less today than it did 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a 50-inch television today, you can get it for $600 or $700. 2 years ago, it was a several thousand-dollar purchase.
Yeah, I was also noticing that a new, what is it, the new Windows pad duplexing,
right,
whatever.
Tablet thing.
$349. Was that a real number?
That's
that
a real number. I've got one right here. It is a tablet. It is a computer. This is what I'm recording the program on, and it is a Windows 8.1 tablet from Asus, and it's got all the capabilities and a lot more of the computer that I just replaced it with, or just replaced with it.
Yes.
Got to get the it in the right place with the prepositions.
That's correct.
So this new computer cost half of the price of the old computer that I was using to do this and does a lot more. And that's not inflation.
Well, there's with all this good news,
mm-hmm,
and all this stuff going on that you're talking about, and it's true, there is something in the Saturday Temple Daily Telegram that is quite significant. And
I wondered why you were reading the newspaper over there.
Well, I saw it, and then I wanted to see what the Temple Daily Telegram said about it before I commented on it. There's a study that apparently in Fayetteville, North Carolina, or South, whichever it is, the local paper managed to get by the Defense Department, and in that plan, beginning in 2015, between 2015 and 2020, with the defense cuts that are on the books, scheduled to happen, that are budgeted in, that are going to happen in one way or another,
right,
barring a major war, Fort Hood stands to lose 16,000 troops. And that is going to have a significant impact locally. You know, in the same paper, Perryman says that local economy is doing very well and it's picking up and we managed to get through the recession with minor effects.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're very likely to get some after effects from that.
The shielding that we had going through the recession was that we had a huge government expenditure going,
right,
on in this area.
And there's about 41,000 troops on Fort Hood right now, and if we pull about 16,000 out...
It's not quite half, but it's getting close.
That is equivalent to the 1991 drawdown. Almost exactly equivalent to the 1991 drawdown, and that was
more,
a pretty hefty impact locally.
There's a piece more here. The age of the military, the people in the military, is higher now on Fort Hood than it was in 91.
Mm-hmm.
We have a much more professional army. It's a much more career-oriented, even than it was back then, which means that 16,000 people being moved out of Fort Hood is actually their families moving out of this vicinity as,
mm-hmm,
well. So we're about out of time for this hour. If you would like to contact us off the air.
Locally, you can call 947-1111. There's a voicemail there on the weekends. Of course, there's people there during the week.
You can also reach that voicemail toll-free at 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can email us at Jeff.
You can email us?
Email us, or
yes,
ostrich us at jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com. Or you can go to our webpage, The Personal Wealth Coach, or tpwc.com, and listen to our podcasts, look at our silly faces, and see what we do.
Yes. And all of that stuff. Until next hour, we're still the Personal Wealth Coach. And presuming this is Saturday, July 5th, you're welcome to give us a call.
True. It's not just a word on your Fox News station. News Radio 1400 KTEM AM. Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.